Last week, I was with you and I spoke on the differences between the rapture and the revelation. Today, I have the duty to speak to you on the differences between trials and tribulations and the great tribulation. What do I mean by this? Well, in John chapter 16 and verse 33, we read, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Many people, many Christians, many Bible commentators do not believe in the Great Tribulation. They say that the Great Tribulation is just one of those tribulations that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about in John chapter 16 and verse 33, which everyone would have to go through at some time or other, and which would come upon us now and again. Tribulations, trials, are they the same as the Great Tribulation? Well, let's look at another text where there is the mention of the Great Tribulation. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21, where we read, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no ever shall be." Note, please, the uniqueness of the Great Tribulation, the Great Tribulation. It has never occurred, and when it occurs, it will never occur again. It comes on one and only one time in the history of mankind. And so we find that the Great Tribulation spoken of in Matthew 24:21 cannot be the same as the tribulations that will befall men now and again, as mentioned in John chapter 16 and verse 33. So there are differences. They cannot be the same. And today it is our study to know what the differences are, and indeed if there are differences. What is known as tribulations and trials are the usual sufferings and sorrows that come to us. And definitely it cannot be the Great Tribulation. People living in the world are to expect trials and tribulations that you and I are experiencing now and again. This is the result of the penalty of the fall of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve fell, God punished them. To the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception." She will have to go through a time of sorrow, trial, and tribulation, so to speak. To the man, he was not free from it. "In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." So both will have to go through the experience of sorrow, suffering, and tribulation. There are trials that will come into your life and my life. This is the result of the fall. This is the path for all and everyone. Even believers have to go through this. That's why we read in Acts 14:22 that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Peter expected it, Paul expected it, John expected it, and Jesus promised it. We would have to go through all this, but these are the ordinary trials and tribulations that come into our path. That these are not the Great Tribulation. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That is the encouragement to all of us who go through these problems at the moment, who suffer trials and tribulations and sorrows. The Lord is with us to help us through, even as he allows these tribulations to come to our life. He is with us, accompanying us through all these sorrows and trials. Now, the church and God's community also have to go through these trials and tribulations. They are usual, they are not special. prevailing worldwide calamities. These are some of the results of our going through the tribulations. Now in Acts 11:27-30, we read, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem and Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dust throughout all the world." This is not the great tribulation. This will be the calamities that will befall the earth. Now today, we are going through a world calamity. That is the coronavirus. That is an epidemic that is besieging us. Now, is that the Great Tribulation? I have read in certain cases and certain documents in certain places that we are now going through the Great Tribulation because of the coronavirus. No, we are not. These are some of the epidemics, world plagues that come upon the scene once in a while, at one time or another, as the Lord permits. Or it may come in the form of persecution and of the godly and the imprisonment of these people. We hear of people in Palestine, in India, in the Middle East, Christians who stand up for the Lord have been persecuted and have been imprisoned. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That is the predicament of all those who want to live godly lives. And there are Christians who are suffering this at the moment. Is that the great persecution? No, not the great tribulation. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The Lord promised to the people, the Christian in the church in Smyrna, "You will suffer tribulation." In fact, at that particular time, Emperor Diocletian launched 10 definite trials and persecutions of the Christians there. The Lord said, "Never mind, you will go through, I will be with you." So these persecutions are not the great tribulation. Then there is thirdly the trials and tribulations that come to our lives because of personal suffering permitted by God. For example, you all know about Job, how he suffered. He had done nothing wrong. And at the end, he was very furious and he said, "I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me why you allow me, who have not sinned against thee, to go through all these sufferings." Then God explained to him. Then he realized that he was wrong to judge God. He said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." He knew then that all these tribulations were not because of his sin, but because God had allowed to permit these to be tested by Satan, to be tested by God himself. So some of these things are even God permitted. Do not attribute that to the great tribulation. Hebrews 12:10 says, "For they verily, the fathers, discipline their children. For a few days, the Lord also chastens us, who are his children. For because he loves us, he chastens us." Right. So, 2 Corinthians 12:7, continuing with the suffering of Christians. Today, many of you who are sitting down here suffer some aches, suffer some infirmities, go through a period of sorrow. Remember this, that is not the great persecution, the great tribulation. It's just some of the things permitted by God. Paul himself said, "Oh, please take away this thorn of the flesh from me." And God said, "No, I'm not going to." He cried to him 3 times, "Please take it away. I do not know what that thorn in the flesh is, but this thing I know." God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. Go through it. Go through it. I will be with you. I will go through with you." Those of us who are going through such kind of trials, take heed. "I am with thee. Be cheerful that the Lord allows this to happen to you." John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He purgeth things in our lives. Sometimes there are things in our lives that are not to be there. They are a dishonor to the Lord. And God purges us to discipline us in order to make us realize that these things are wrong. And so we go through a time of testing, but that is not the great tribulation. Punishment for sinful rebellion. Revelation chapter 2, verses 22-23. To the church at Thyatira, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of the churches, warned, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation." Ah, that's the word great tribulation. No, it's not great tribulation. It is not a phrase with the definite article, the great tribulation. It is great tribulation, great trials, great suffering, great sorrows, but it is not the great tribulation. So we must know the difference. Although the phrase there, great tribulation, is there, it is not the great tribulation. It is the time of persecution underwent by the church because of disobedience. "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." This was a matter of punishment for disobedience. So it is not the great tribulation. Fifthly, when God allows trials and sorrows and tribulation, so-called, to come into our lives, he also has a purpose, that his will may be done by those who have to go through these sufferings. Now, today, this morning, at the Lord's Supper, we were taken up with the glory of God. Now, in order for God to be glorified, he would even allow certain things to come to our lives, some trials, some tribulations. For example, Jesus was passing by. He saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" The Lord answered, "Never had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Dear friends, sometimes there are some infirmities that come to your life. There are sometimes certain things that make you suffer a bit, sorrowful perhaps. Why do these things come to my life? Why I love the Lord so much? I'm so faithful in the service of the Lord. Why does he allow these things to come to my life? Why, oh God, why? It's not fair. But as we have been meditating upon, it's for God's glory. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven to manifest God's glory, and he went through the sufferings and sorrows of being a man. So, in order that we might know the glory of God, and sometimes we are permitted by God to go through some of these tribulations, but they are not the great tribulation, in order that we might glorify God. So Jesus said, the works of God should be made manifest in him. Lazarus, you remember, was allowed to die in order that the Lord Jesus Christ might prove himself to be, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall not die, but shall have life." So we find that the Son of God might be glorified. These things happen. These are the usual trials and tribulations and sorrows and sufferings that come into our life. Do not mistake them as part of the great tribulation. With this, we look at how God treats Israel also. Israel also had to go through many of these persecutions, many of these sufferings and sorrows. Although it may not be the great tribulation as yet. For example, the Lord God said to Israel, "Obey my commandments and I will make a covenant with you." And God made a number of covenants with Israel. And God said, if you obey, then you shall be blessed. If you do not, then these curses shall be upon you. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So these curses, these tribulations, these trials, these sorrows will come upon Israel at various times as they committed sins against God. God will punish them. But that's not the great tribulation as yet. God made covenants with Israel now and again, time and again. And again he said, if you obey, then you shall be blessed. And throughout the Old Testament scriptures, we find again and again, God had wanted to make covenants with Israel. And God said, if you don't keep my commandments, then I shall curse you. I shall bring a curse of hunger upon you, drought upon your land, blight, no curse to eat your harvest, plagues, literary defeat, devastation on all that you do if you don't obey. And you see so many times in the Old Testament scriptures, time again, when children disobey God, they are meted out judgment upon them through all these curses. So please remember this as I complete this part of to show the difference between trials, tribulations, and the great tribulation. That when these things come to your life, it is not the great tribulation. It is, you examine for yourself, is it God's way of showing me that I have gone away from him? Is it God's way of showing me that I have not done right and have disobeyed him? Then these things are coming upon me because I have sinned against him. Or it may not be like that even. It may be that God has a very good purpose in mind to glorify him. He allows you to go through all these. And though you have not done anything wrong, as in the case of Job, as in the case of the blind man, you have not done anything wrong. But he allowed you to suffer, and you must be prepared to do it because it's all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. And therefore, these are trials. These are tribulations. Great that they may be, but they are still not the great tribulation. All these are not part of the great tribulation. So know this then, therefore, as I proceed now to talk about what is this great tribulation. You will see the difference between the two, the tribulations that we suffer from time to time and the great tribulation that will come upon all those who reject him. Never happened before, happening now, will never happen later. It is unique once and for all. That is the great tribulation. Right, what is it then? Firstly, this uniqueness of the great tribulation is to be experienced by Israel. By Israel, the Jews, God's chosen people. Why? Because they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. This period will be marked by the second coming of Christ. This tribulation period is between the rapture and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the rapture and the revelation of Jesus Christ last week. The rapture refers to the church being taken up into heaven. The revelation refers to the church having had the marriage supper of the Lamb, coming together with the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second time into the earth to rescue those who have been left behind as Jews who are his people, who go through the great tribulation period to save them and deliver them. And so we find that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ marked the great tribulation period. At the commencement, we have the rapture. At the end, we have the revelation when Christ comes for his people. You see this in this very simple chart. All right. This is the Great Tribulation period. It is marked by two halves, which I shall explain later on. Know this only from this chart, that this is the Great Tribulation period. The beginning of it would be the rapture of the church into heaven. The end, the conclusion of this Great Tribulation period, will be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ with the church to the earth. These two stages of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ mark the beginning and the ending of the Great Tribulation period. All right? Don't worry if you do not get the picture, because I shall be going over this again and again, repeating it until you have a clear understanding of what it's all about. It is also the unfulfilled 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. Now you will understand why I have this, the Great Tribulation period, divided into two, because it has a reference to the Daniel's 70th week of prophecy. What is this Daniel 70 weeks? Daniel had a vision. God gave him a vision. He saw a vision of 70 weeks divided into three portions. A week, followed by 62 weeks, followed by another week. What is the meaning of week? The week actually in Hebrew is sevens. 70 sevens. So it could be 77 days. 70 days. No, nothing happened in history. It could be 70 months. No, nothing happened. It could be 70 years. Yes, it makes some sense. Because we have no time to go into this. If, and Bible commentators have gone to it, if you interpret the sevens as years, so there will be 70 times 7, 409. 70 times 7 will be 490 years. But if you go through, we are told that they are divided into three sections. 1 week, followed by 62 weeks. 1 week is 7, 62 is 62 times 7, 493. 62 plus 7 is 69, and 69 times 7 is 493 years. Now, if you trace the history of Israel from AD 444 BC to AD 33, it exactly ended on the last day of 493rd year. Therefore, fulfilling the first section of 7 plus 62 weeks, 69 weeks. Then when it comes to 70th week, there will be 7 more years. 7 more years after the 493 years, nothing in history happened. Nothing in history happened. So it could not have been fulfilled in history. If it could not have been fulfilled in history, and up to now, there is no indication that it has been fulfilled, therefore, it must still be in future. And therefore, we will have to relay the 70th week to later. It is still in the future, and this is the period of 7 years. So there seems to be a gap, a parenthesis, between the 69 and the 70th week. Between the 69 and 70th week. At the end of the 69 weeks, They crucified the Messiah. Messiah, the prince, was cut off. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And we find that after the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit came down and started the church. The church came into being. So it is, therefore, our conclusion that in the interval between the 69th week and the 70th week, there was a period of the church age. The church age is special, it's different to us as the mystery, And a mystery in the Bible means something hidden in the past, but now revealed. And the mystery of the church was this, that the church, the teaching of the church, behind the church, regarding the church, was hidden in the Old Testament, not revealed to the prophets in the Old Testament. So that when Daniel saw the prophecy in time, he never saw the church in between. But he saw the 69 weeks, and he saw the 70th week, but not the parenthesis in between. So that will be the time of the church age, when the church was formed by the descent of the Holy Spirit and would end when it would be raptured into heaven. It is also known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Again, it is significant. It is called time of Jacob's trouble. It is not called the time of Jesus' trouble. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble because it refers to only the Old Testament Jews. The time of Jacob's trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble would be the same as the period of the Great Tribulation. And the term Jacob's trouble would mean that it would refer only to the Jews. The church would not be there because the church was a mystery. Alas, for that day is great, so none is like it. None is like it, nor ever shall be, because it is the Great Tribulation. And the Great Tribulation has reference only to the Jews, because it's Jacob's trouble, not the church. Don't find the church in the Great Tribulation. It is the universality of the Great Tribulation at the end times of the Gentiles. It is also referred to, not just the end, the times of Gentiles, but the end of the Gentiles. What's happening? First, we have this Daniel 70th week over here, 69 weeks, and the 70th week, the church in between, which was not seen by the Old Testament prophets. The times of Gentiles would begin with King Nebuchadnezzar, who killed the last king of Israel. And from that time onwards, in history, up to now, Israel never had a king. Therefore, from that time onwards, up to now, we find that Jerusalem was under the supremacy of the Gentiles. The Gentiles would occupy Jerusalem. In history, it was so, under the Babylonians, under the Medo-Persians, under the Grecians, and under the Roman Empire. But there would be a lapse later on in our time. There would be a revival of the Roman Empire, and there would be a revival of the Roman Empire. Then we will see the fulfillment of the 70th week right here. When a stone, we say in Daniel's vision, a stone would be cast out from nowhere and would be hurled at the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's image, and it would collapse, and then the stone would become a mountain. A mountain in history, in prophecy, always signify a kingdom. Therefore, after the Great Tribulation, a kingdom would be set up, and Israel would be taken up again after their punishment in the Daniel 70th week. The Jews would be taken up again, and they would go, and they would get back their supremacy in the kingdom. And so this is the structure. It will be at the end of the Gentiles. All right. Now, let us go into detail into the 70th week. because the 70th week is the Great Tribulation period. What is this 70 weeks about? As I explained earlier, there will be the 69 weeks fulfilled, a gap between the 69th week and the 70th week, the church age, which was never seen by the Old Testament prophets, and therefore do not find the church, prophecy of the church, truths regarding the church, teachings regarding the church in the Old Testament. It's not found there because they never knew, the Old Testament never knew about the church. Then you would know about the 70th week. The 70th week is divided into three parts. What are the three parts? The major parts of the 70th week? 7 years. 1 week, 7 years. Daniel 9:24-27. And we have the first half of the 7 years. The first half. This is known as the tribulation. The tribulation of the great tribulation. This is the real tribulation, okay? Do not get confused. The tribulation of the great tribulation. In fact, the whole 7 year period is known as the tribulation. But the first half is referred to as the tribulation. And the second half is the great tribulation, because it's in the second half that the great tribulation events will really take place. The second half. Now, some people do not agree that all these are so. For example, in Revelation, there's mention of the Great Tribulation lasting 1,260 years, lasting 42 months, lasting times and half a time. What do all these mean? Well, to prove that this 1 week is literally 7 years, we can look at these figures and see whether they are literal figures or not. 1,260 days. In the Bible prophecy, 1 year, 1 month is equivalent to 30 days. It's that the Chinese lunar month. 1 month, 30 days. So if you take 1,260 days divided by 30, you get 42 months. You take 42 months divided by 7, by 7, you get 6. So you get 42 months, 1,260 days, and in the Hebrew idiom or in the Greek idiom, is referred to as a time, times, and half a time. A time, 1 year, singular, times, plural, 2 years, half a time, half a year, 3.5 years. So you'll find that when we refer to the 7 years of Great Tribulation, we are referring to a literal number, not a figurative number. And all these years are literal, as we have proved already. Likewise, we say the kingdom that shall come will last 1,000 years. That's why we call it the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years. If 1,260 days can be literal, why cannot 1,000 be literal? Many people believe that 1,000 is not literal, it's figurative. If 1,260 days, as I have proved, can be literal, why not 1,000 years? It can also be literal. Why is God submitting Israel through the Great Tribulation? The purpose, to chasten the rebels or remove them, those who rebel and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, crucify him, their descendants who still rebel against God, they will be removed. They will be removed because the kingdom is going to be set up. But those who trust in him, and there will be many who would believe in the Messiah, the king that was promised in the Old Testament, they would believe because at least 144,000 Jews, missionaries, Jewish missionaries, would go out to preach the gospel of the Messiah and of the kingdom that shall come. And these people would believe. When they believe, then they will go into the kingdom. To confirm his covenant with Abraham and David, God had promised to Abraham, come out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and I'll make you a nation as numberless as the sands of the seashore, as numberless as the stars in the heavens. I will make your kingdom great. This is the time when God will keep his promise. After the great tribulation, there will be the millennial kingdom. And David, God had promised David in his covenant, your descendants shall be king, and that kingdom shall be a royal kingdom. And so we find that this was a time, after going through the great tribulation, God will then bring these people out to fulfill all his promises and covenants that he made with Israel. To cleanse them, to commit them to the new covenant. God will then sign a new covenant with them. The old covenant will be put away. The new covenant will come in. And what is his new covenant? Essentially, you shall be my people. I shall be your God. You shall be my people, God says, and I shall be your God. All your sins have been, as far as the east is from the west, will be removed. Your transgressions will be thrown into the depths of the sea. You'll be forgiven. You will have a new heart. This is the very essence of the new covenant that God will make with Israel. How wonderful God has planned this out for Israel. The great tribulation of the end times. It is a unique great tribulation. I want to emphasize again, because we are discussing the differences between the tribulations and trials of the usual type and the great tribulation, that the great tribulation is the unique one, no other. Let me prove to you. Daniel 12, 1. It says that it will be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Never in the history of the nation was the occurrence of the great tribulation. It would come at a time God has specified. It will never happen again. This will be the great tribulation. It cannot be any other tribulation that you and I experience, can it? For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Matthew 24. This was pronounced by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Olivet Discourse. Never, ever, never, ever occurred before or ever shall be. I said to him, sir, you know, when John saw the saints who were beheaded in the great tribulation in heaven, and he said, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them wet in the blood. As I explained last week, John saw in that vision in heaven all those who were persecuted and beheaded during the great tribulation, and they seemingly have bodies already. So there must have been a resurrection taking place during the time of the great tribulation, and we don't know. We are not told, but it is known as the first resurrection. All these resurrections took place in the first resurrection. The first resurrection had many faces, just as the second coming of Christ had two faces. The coming of Christ for his people and the coming of Christ with his people. So the first resurrection had a number of faces. We had first the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After that, those who were dead in the tombs, they were also raised with Christ. Then there were those who were raised with him during the great tribulation. Lazarus also was raised, but Lazarus, of course, died again. So, and then the rapture of the church, when all those who belonged to him were raised, all these would form the first resurrection. The first resurrection is not one resurrection. The second resurrection is when unbelievers will be raised and they will be judged at the great white throne and thrown into the lake of fire for the last time for eternity. That is the second resurrection unto damnation. So beware when you study the scriptures of how the things are divided. Here we see in the Great Tribulation period, the end of the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles. As I pointed out, the times of Gentiles started with Babylon. Israel had no more king after that. Up to today even, Israel has no king. To prove to you how truthful the prophecy of Scripture is. Up to today, Israel has no king. And Jerusalem will be trodden under the foot of Gentiles. It's true, the Jews today have recovered certain portions of their promised land, but they have not recovered everything yet. There's still some more to be recovered. So that will be the time after they've gone through the Great Tribulation, then they will go into the promised land as God had promised Abraham. All right? It is the end of the times of the Gentiles, as I said, involving the complete destruction of their institutions, their governments, and the accomplishment of their judgments. The end of the Gentiles will bring about the judgment of the Gentiles and then the millennial kingdom, the kingdom promised by God, will be established. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of Gentiles be fulfilled. Please, as I pointed out last week, do not mistake the times of Gentiles with the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles refers to the complete fullness of the church. The times of the Gentiles refer to the times when Israel came under Gentile rule and lost their Jewish supremacy until the time when they will recover it after the Great Tribulation. It completes the Gentile times and its Gentile judgments are accomplished. Right. It is controlled by during this time for the Gentiles, at the last stage of the Great Tribulation, it shall be controlled by the men of sin and by the reign of the beast. During the seven-year period, midway, we find there this statement, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that men of sin be revealed." The men of sin must be revealed before the Son of God is revealed when he comes for the Jews. This is the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. This is what is referred to in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. When you see the abomination of desolation in the temple, run! When you see the abomination of desolation, the idol being set up in the temple, as here, the man of sin being set up in the temple. That's the man of sin, the son of perdition. That's how he is named. And they worship the dragon, which gave, in addition to him, the man of sin, there is the beast. They worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" This beast appears as the animal, a combination of all the four animals seen in Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the lion, the eagle, the bear, the leopard, all combined together with seven heads and 10 horns. Now, I have no time to go into all these, but know this, that in the Great Tribulation period, this man of sin, this together with the beast, together with the little horn, the Antichrist, will be set up and they will reign during the Great Tribulation period. That's why it will be so disastrous. That's indication that these things are coming. Because during the time, the regime of the beast, he will control the people by making them by controlling their commerce and economy. Everyone who needs to do trade must have the number 666 on the forehead. Is it possible? Must have a number in the wrist, a number. Is that possible? Is that what you see now? Are these possibilities that this prophecy will come to be fulfilled. Remember this. This prophecy in John's Revelation was written in 90 AD. 90 AD now is 2021. So many thousands of years before these things could ever be imagined. And now we see the possibility of all these prophecies being fulfilled right to the very dot. Is the Bible not true? And if it is, believe all that it teaches in the Word. It culminates in the setting up of Messiah's kingdom of righteousness and peace, the climax of all human history. It is the consummation of the divine purpose of the earth. It will end, finally, with the beast, the kingdom of the beast, and the kingdom of the man of sin destroyed by that stone that will be carved up from nowhere. It will come down, knock down the statue of the Gentiles of the Gentiles, and then it will establish a mountain, signifying a kingdom will be established. There will be a time of peace on earth. 1,000-year reign of Christ upon earth, where peace will be reinstated as in the Garden of Eden, where the lion and the lamb will be friends, and all the animals in the creation and man will relate to one another. How great that will be. How great. That will be the millennial kingdom. We have no time to talk about it. But let this be understood, that after the great tribulation, after Christ has come for the Jews and punished the Gentiles for their persecution of the Jews, then God Christ will set up his kingdom on earth, and then the Jews will and the Gentiles will recognize this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is the unilaterally terminated by the glorious appearing. As I said, this great tribulation period will end with the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:19-30. Immediately after the tribulation, and this is the great tribulation, of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Note this. This is another great difference between the rapture and the revelation. The rapture, no signs given. He can come anytime. His coming is imminent. Anytime, any moment. Even right now, if he comes, all of us will be changed, and we shall be raptured into the air. But this is not the rapture. This is the revelation. The church is already up there. This is the revelation. And we find there will be signs. After the great tribulation, there will be signs. And the greatest sign of all signs is, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Now, is this the rapture? Cannot be. And so you see, there is a difference between the rapture and the revelation. In this revelation, all men shall see him. Every eye shall focus upon him, because he comes as the Messiah promised in the Old Testament, in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Whereas with the church, he will come and he will catch all those who are his, and they will go up to him in mid-air, and they will meet in mid-air. But not the revelation. Finally, let me give you properly the sequence of things happening. Now, Matthew chapter 24 is a very important chapter on the Great Tribulation. Do not try to find the church in Matthew 24. Do not try to interpret the church in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 was an answer to the question posed by the disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ. When will these things be destroyed? Referring to the temple. When shall these things be? Referring to his coming. And Christ gave the answer as it related to the Jews, because it would refer to the temple. to the people of the Jews, the church is not there. Do not interpret Matthew 24 in terms of the church. Don't find texts there and apply them to the church, because it is wrong interpretation. The time now of Matthew is like this. The whole chapter of Matthew 24, Mr. Ong discussed that to you, a few weeks ago. Matthew 24 would start with the first few verses up to verse 14. That part will refer to the first half of the Great Tribulation, when there will be a covenant of peace made by Antichrist with Israel. There will be peace. He will make a covenant of peace for 7 years. But in the midst of the 7 years, 3.5 years, he will break the covenant and he will show himself as the man of sin. But before that, he would be a man of peace. And the people believed him, and that would be dealt with in the first half of Matthew 24, up to verse 14. Verse 15 is the change. From verse 15 onwards, now here's the clue. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, flee. When you see, why should we Christians look for the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel? The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel would be the man of sin erecting himself as the idol in the temple to place himself as God so that all can worship him. That is the abomination that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is speaking of. That's the abomination that Daniel was speaking of. That's the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. When you see this happening, flee. When you see the man of sin revealed, flee. When you see the son of perdition revealed, flee. Flee where? It says there, flee to Judea, as we shall find later on. So, let me give you again the analysis of Matthew 24. Up to verse 14, it's nothing about the Great Tribulation yet. It's the tribulation of the first 3.5 years. Then, Matthew 24:15, when you see the abomination of desolation, then this is the part where you read everything about the Great Tribulation, the second part of the 3.5 years. Then, of course, in 24:30-31, you see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives you the end of the Great Tribulation. Okay, let me give you in a better analysis in words this time. Matthew 24 is a great chapter on the Great Tribulation, and it relates to Israel. Israel, let me prove to you. The prediction of the Great Tribulation, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It's verse 21. And it points to verse 15. When you see the abomination of desolation, then, very important word, let us study this word then, as it occurs. The persecution in the Great Tribulation, 24 verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, you shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's the beginning. That's the first half. That's the beginning. The people in the Great Tribulation, who are they? When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place in the temple, that is, then let them who are in Judea flee. Will the church be in Judea? Why should we be anywhere near Judea or in Judea? Nowhere. We are in heaven. Let them who are in Judea, the Jews, flee. Two pictures were used to illustrate this fleeing. It says there, as Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This verse has been very, very greatly misinterpreted. The taking away, many people say, is the rapture. The church being taken away. I told you, Matthew 24, don't find the church there. It has no reference to the church because the church is already in heaven. Until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall be the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man. What is referred to as the coming of the Son of Man? The coming of the Son of Man is with reference to those who are taken away. In Noah's time, Noah's flood, who were those who were taken away? Those taken away were those who are outside the ark. Taken away, washed away by the flood for judgment. And this is what it says, because a few verses later on, we read that Gentiles and all others will come face to face with the judgment of nations by the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be taken away for judgment. The taken away will not be referenced to the church being taken away. Two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. The one taken is the Lord, is the rapture. No, it's not the rapture. Paying reference to the first, to the verse earlier, those who are taken away will refer to those taken from judgment. Two be in the field, one shall be taken away for judgment, the other left. Left for what? Left to go into the great millennial reign of Christ. Because in the for those who want who have to will go from the great tribulation into the millennial reign of Christ, there is no resurrection. There is no resurrection. There is no rapture. As they are, they move from one sphere to another sphere. Those who are left behind move over for blessing. Those who are taken away for judgment, as in the case of Noah. The church is not in Matthew 24. Let's continue with this sequence. When you therefore, let's see the order of things. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, that's the start. When you see, then great tribulation. So the great tribulation cannot be before when you see. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. The Son of Man will only come after the great tribulation. Cannot be before. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. This is not a rapture. This is his coming for Israel. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken away for judgment. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. He will set up his millennial reign. So you see the sequence. I have not invented this order. The order is there, all denoted by this word, then, giving you the order of each sequence that should come one after another. Finally, there's one more. The salvation of God's elect. Why the tribulation is set to, and the second coming of Christ, it is to rescue the Jews from being wiped out. And the great tribulation will be so terrible that the Jews could have been wiped out. And that's why Christ and the church would come to deliver them for the sake of the elect. Many people have interpreted the elect as reference to the church in Ephesians chapter 1. I say, don't find the church in chapter Matthew 24. The church is not the elect. Israel has also been called the elect in Isaiah 45 verse 4, 65 verse 9, and verse 22. There, Israel is called the elect. The second coming of Christ for the church has no signs. But for Israel, there are signs. And then we shall find that he will send all his angels to collect the elect, his elect, the people of Israel, as we read in Isaiah 45. It's not the elect with reference to the church. And therefore, all Israel shall be saved. Let me emphasize this. The church has not replaced Israel. The church is still there. Give no offense. First to the Gentiles, to the Jews, and to the church. There are three entities. We must recognize them, and we must know them. The church is the church. Israel is Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. And so at the end, the true Israel will be saved. All Israel shall be saved. What a grand story it will be. And God's promises will be fulfilled at the very end. So with this, I end very quickly, just one more minute. The church is not going through the great tribulation. Look at the study of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a book that reveals about the great tribulation. From chapter 4 onwards to chapter 19, all about the great tribulation. And do not find the church there. Chapters 1 to 3, we find the church occurring again and again, the word church again and again occurring many times. But from chapter 4 to chapter 19, when it speaks about the great tribulation, the word church does not occur even once. No more. Why? Because in chapter 4, verse 1, the angel said to John, "Come up hither." That would be symbolizing the church as by John going up into heaven to be with God, with Christ forevermore. And then after the church has raptured into heaven, on earth there will be persecution of the Jews. So the church, chapter 1 to 1, 4, 1, every conclusion of the Spirit's letter to the church says, let him have an ear, the one who have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What the Spirit saith unto the churches. But when it comes to the tribulation period, chapter 6 to 10, you don't find this verse anymore. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. No more in the tribulation. Then chapters 6, 11 to 19, the great tribulation stage, we see these very same words again. He that had an ear, let him hear what? What the Spirit saith unto the churches, 13 verse 9? No, you don't see the words there. You do not see the words there. Although they occur in chapters 1 to 3 so often, and yet you don't see. Let him hear, let him that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That second part of the text is missing. So, after that, you have eternity already. Because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, the great tribulation, speaking to the church in Smyrna, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who are. We shall be exempt, not through the trial that should come, but from, that's the Greek word for it, from, we shall not enter. So, dear friends, this is the blessed hope that we have. How grand, how great. He which testifies these things, Revelation 22, 20, 21, says, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Can you say these words together with me, together with all these people? Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessed hope we have with one another. We thank you for the great promise that thou hast in store for us, when we shall be with the Lord forever with him. O Lord, blessed hope it is for us all. We do pray that we may play our responsibility to preach unto others who know not thee as yet, so that they can come and join us to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again. Bless the word to thy people, Lord, we do pray. Establish thy word and help us all to be strong and stand firm on thy word. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.